Hello, you're watching Talking Europe. It seems that France is going to have to learn coalition politics after a parliamentary election in which no bloc came close to an absolute majority. Germany and other countries have experience of grand coalitions, but in France, a win or lose mentality has been dominant among French politicians. And the last power sharing with one political family in charge of the presidency and another in charge of the executive ended 22 years ago. France is, of course, a founding member of the European project and half of the Franco-German engine of European integration. Well, to discuss the implications, I'm joined by German Green MEP Daniel Freund, who knows France extremely well, and by French MEP Fabrice Leggeri, whose National Rally Party won the European election in France and has just joined a new far-right formation called Patriots for Europe here in the EU Parliament. Gentlemen, thank you so much for being my guests. Daniel Freund, do you share this very pessimistic analysis we've heard in recent days about France becoming ungovernable, or are you a bit more upbeat on that?
Well, I hope that that's not the case and that the democratic pro-European forces can now build a majority, a coalition government that can properly govern France in the next few years.
Do you think there's any lessons that could be taken from Germany?
Well, I mean, I think one of the important lessons is that this is possible, but it's not always easy having coalition governments. My party is in the government in Germany with Social Democrats and Liberals. That's not always easy. But I think we have shown that in difficult times, war in Ukraine, inflation, that it is possible to govern a country, and I think that's what France needs now as well.
Fabrice Leggeri, what do you think would be the least bad scenario from your perspective now? Would it be anything but the left bloc, so anybody except the New Popular Front?
Well, first of all, I have to clarify that the Rassemblement National got more than 10 million votes. So we are political party number one in France, and the so-called New Popular Front got 7 million votes. In terms of seats, of course, we have only 143 seats in the Assembly.
That's with the part of the Les Républicains which joined you.
Yes, but only Rassemblement National got 126 seats. But anyway, there is a contradiction between what the French voters expressed and what the French voters have now as a result. And the result is that it will be very difficult to govern France. This is, first of all, President Macron's responsibility, because he led France to this very difficult situation.
What do you make of that point about the tactical voting in the second round? Because obviously the National Rally has said this is undemocratic. You'd probably say the opposite, I guess.
Well, I would say people have made their choice. He doesn't seem to like it, but a large majority in France rejected that a government be led by the extreme right. That is their free choice. He can lament and he can call it undemocratic, but that's the current voting system in France. I mean, a democratic majority could change the way that French democracy works. You could have a proportional system, and I would generally argue that we have seen in many EU countries that have a more proportional system and not a first past the post. And generally, I think it reflects the voter better, because then it's, you don't just have to vote against what you don't want, but you can actually vote for what you want. But I think, nevertheless, the message here is very clear. What voters in France do not want is the Rassemblement National and an extreme right government.
Yeah, but now we have more and more people, more and more French people realizing that they might have the far left in power. While most of the French voters want more security, they want less immigration, they want to protect private property, they want to protect their savings. And if the far left, the France Insoumise, is in the lead or has an influential role in the coalition, then the French people might get exactly the opposite of what they want.
What we hear is that the president and his circle is actually trying to sort of knock La France Insoumise away from any future coalition, but we'll have to see what happens. And just to be clear, of course, the new Popular Front, that left-wing bloc, got collectively the largest number of seats, but it's not one single party, of course. What about the implications for France's influence in the European Union? I want both of your thoughts on that, gentlemen. Do you see a possible lessening of French influence now in the institutions, for example, in the Parliament, in the European Commission, and so on?
I mean, I think it's pretty clear that the role of Emmanuel Macron, that is no longer a rising star. Many speak that he is now a bit of a lame duck president. Things will depend, of course, what coalition agreement will actually result from the ongoing negotiations in Paris. But this is not necessarily a strengthening of France's role. I have to say that Emmanuel Macron used the European election night to announce a vote in France is not a very pro-European move. You should have left that evening to European democracy and the majority building here in Brussels and also in Strasbourg, rather than making it all about France. But the exact influence and the behavior also on the French government, all this depends now on what this coalition actually looks like.
And Fabrice Légeret, you're obviously hoping to have influence here in the Parliament if you couldn't have it in the French government as a result of this election. I mentioned at the beginning this group, Patriots for Europe, which is currently the third largest bloc here in the European Parliament. What are you hoping to achieve in that group now?
Well, this has been a long process to have a common grouping of different members of our family. So we are united on the fact that we want to keep the sovereignty of member states. So we want to keep democratic functioning of the European Union against Brussels bureaucracy, and in particular against initiatives from the Commission that is not, in our views, in line with the democratic spirit. We want to make sure that we protect the borders of the European Union against massive illegal migration. And we want also to make sure that, for example, policies such as the Green Deal can take into consideration the interest, the economic interest of European business and European citizens. So this is, in a nutshell, the core of our priorities. But of course, what we expect is also to be able to have alliances with other parties. And in particular, we have very good cooperation with other parties which are members of the European Conservative and Reformist Group. So they are long-standing discussions, and I'm confident that we are able to discuss further and vote together on some issues.
Just before I get Daniel Freund's reaction, you mentioned the ECR. Are you going to try to make sure that the ECR, you're trying to get as many of their MEPs to vote against Ursula von der Leyen?
Yeah, we hope that they will vote against. On our side, it's clear. This has been said during the electoral campaign in France that Rassemblement National is against President, until now, von der Leyen.
Yeah, and she goes up for a vote on July the 18th. Daniel Freund, you were shaking your head there when your colleague was speaking.
Well, I mean, for me, it seems when I look at the parties that have now joined these Patriots, I'm not sure about Patriots for Europe. To me, it sounds like Patriots for Russia, because all these are parties with close ties to the Kremlin. Viktor Orban was just in Moscow to receive the newest orders from Vladimir Putin,
I suppose. He was in Kiev, too.
Yeah, I think reluctantly,
and if you
hear his statements, but also those of Zelensky, but his government has the closest ties to the Kremlin of any European government. Anyways, it's interesting to, you know, hear him speak. Fostering European economic development, that's what we're all for. But if I look at the developments in China or the US, you know, their investments in renewable energies, in electric vehicles, in heat pumps, in all these technologies that we need for the green transformation of our economy, you know, I don't want Europe to fall behind the Chinese or the Americans. So it needs investment, but it also needs legislation that your group and your party have basically voted against everything in the last few years. So you say one thing, but then if you look at the voting behavior that you have shown here in the parliament, it's basically the opposite of that.
Yeah, but our voting behavior, for example, regarding the agriculture policy, the so-called farm to fork program have led to the situation where 20 or up to 25% of the agriculture production in Europe will shrink. So that means reducing the production, which means that Europe might be dependent on other third countries. So these are the areas where we want to correct the Green Deal.
Yeah, except that we won't have much agricultural production if we don't halt climate change and the loss of biodiversity, then, 25% reduction will be peanuts against what we're going to see. And what we already today see, if you look at the heat waves, at the forest fires, at the droughts, but also floods, that is the biggest risk for our farmers and not rules that protect biodiversity.
But you mentioned car industry, for example, the European Union is lagging behind. Now we depend on China, so that's not beneficial to the European car makers. And we would like that the European industry, car industry in this example, can be beneficial, because that means patriots for Europe. We want to have some sort of European patriotism, and that means to protect and promote European economic interests.
The problem is that if you only go with tiny member states against someone like China, you don't stand a chance. If we want to have a chance against an economic superpower like China, we need to do it together as Europeans. So this whole thing of cutting us into ever smaller pieces, tiny member states that are going to compete with China, I don't see it.
No, but we want to be united. We want to be united. Our slogan during the electoral campaign was a national priority, but European preference, meaning that in particular, in economic terms, it's European preference.
We'll have to leave it there. We'll have to leave it there. Thank you so much to both of you, Fabrice Leggeri from Patriots for Europe and Daniel Freund from the Greens here in the European Parliament. And of course, we'll be closely watching that vote for or against Ursula von der Leyen for a potential second term as European Commission President. You can follow us here on France 24 on July the 18th. We'll have all the latest for you.